This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Diane Roberts. U.S. President Joe Biden called Egypt's president Thursday to discuss steps to and fighting in the Palestinian territories, the Egyptian presidency said. The call is the first he's received from Biden since the U.S. president took office in January and comes amid intensifying efforts to secure a Gaza truce after 11 days of violence between Israel and Hamas. The number of people killed in Gaza by Israeli strikes since May 10th has risen to 232, the enclave Health Ministry said Thursday, as it confirmed five new deaths. According to the Hamas-run ministry's updated tally, the toll includes 65 children and 1,900 wounded. 12 people have been killed in Israel from Palestinian rocket fire, according to Israeli authorities. Unacceptable, that's how UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres described the continued crossfire between Israeli forces and militant groups, including Hamas. He told the UN General Assembly Thursday the fighting must stop immediately, end quote. Guterres said he's shocked by continuing air and artillery bombardment by the Israeli Defense Forces in Gaza. He added indiscriminate firing of rockets by Hamas and other militant groups towards population centers in Israel was also unacceptable. He said, if there is a hell on earth, it is the lives of children in Gaza. The General Assembly meeting was requested by Niger and Algeria, respectively the current chairs of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation and the Arab Group at the United Nations. This is VOA News. North Korea will be a key topic when U.S. President Joe Biden meets with South Korean President Moon Jae-in Friday, the White House said Thursday. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters, quote, we expect that North Korea will be a central topic of the discussion, of course, tomorrow. She added the two leaders would also discuss issues such as climate change, China, and the economy. Progress against the pandemic remains fragile and international travel should be avoided, warns the World Health Organization's Europe director, Hans Kluge. But he adds all the vaccines authorized by the WHO are effective against the COVID-19 virus variants that have emerged so far. Meanwhile, the European Parliament and EU member states reached a deal Thursday, paving the way for a COVID-19 certificate that will help open up travel in Europe for the key summer season, EU sources said. The deal will allow for anybody living in its 27 countries to be able to get a digital health pass to display their vaccination status, results of COVID-19 test, or whether they've recovered from a coronavirus infection. The EU executive refers to the travel pass as a green certificate. The European Parliament has urged the EU to back a push for a temporary waiver of coronavirus vaccine patents in the face of skepticism from Brussels and key member states. Lawmakers voting late Wednesday narrowly approved an amendment calling on the bloc to support the India and South African World Trade Organization initiative for a temporary waiver on intellectual property rights for COVID-19 vaccines, equipment and treatments, and urges pharmaceutical companies to share their knowledge and data. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said Thursday he was concerned about the deployment of foreign troops in Norway near the Russian border. NATO member Norway, which shares a short border with Russia, last month allowed the United States to build facilities at three Norwegian airfields and one naval base. Spain accused Morocco of blackmail Thursday for allowing a record 8,000 migrants to reach the Spanish North African enclave of Ceuta, sparking a crisis that saw clashes on the Moroccan side of the border overnight. Spanish authorities were caught by surprise Monday when large numbers of mostly young people began swimming or using small inflatable boats to cross the frontier as the Moroccan border forces looked the other way. The BBC made a full and unconditional apology after an independent report found journalist Martin Bashir used deception to secure an explosive 1995 interview with Princess Diana. Following a six-month investigation, a retired senior judge wrote, Mr. Bashir acted inappropriately and in serious breach of the BBC guideline.